kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title for us to consider today, and we're calling our teaching, "We Are to Shine as Lights." We are to shine as lights. And I'd like to look at this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, we are to shine as lights. This is what we're talking about today. And it's all in the context of where we're not to complain or grumble. And then he takes it up in verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And that light also includes, in verse 16, holding fast the word of life, and so on. So as the world gets worse, which is what is happening, the great falling away that is happening now, we are seeing it and experiencing it. We are told to stand fast and to let our lights shine in these last days, because the enemy is out to try and put the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, out in the world. That is fundamentally his attack. All the while there is light, it will expose what he does. And so he wants to put that light out. We know from the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. What does he try and do with the foolish? He tries to put their lights out on their lamps so that they don't have enough for when the bridegroom comes at night. So the church is attacked with the light that it's supposed to have. He tries to attack that light that is within us, within our lives, so that we're now a new creation. So the enemy, the powers of darkness, the demonic forces do not like this light. And that is why we're calling our teaching today, "We Are to Shine as Lights," as we have just read to you there in Philippians 2 and verse 15. You see, the church in general today knows little about being a light. And this sadly has come about through the lack of the power of the Holy Spirit. There is little understanding amongst a lot of Christendom about the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. And therefore, because there is a lack of the power of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a lack of cleansing. We know that the Bible speaks of salt. We'll look at this later on. Salt, which is cleansing. Salt is a preserving agent. Salt is also seasoning. So with the lack of the baptism of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit in the church, which of course is the light, you don't get this preserving, this seasoning on the world. You see, salt, it's interesting that salt may still look salt, but it's lost its flavour. It can still appear to be salt, but it can in fact lose its flavour. And so these are admonitions, these are warnings to the church, to Christians, they're warnings to us. That is why we need to continue to be filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-off experience. It's a continual filling as we walk in the light, as we walk with God, because it takes the power of the Spirit of God in which to enable us to overcome, to enable us to be able to walk by faith, to keep that light shining so that we can stand against the powers of darkness that are trying to put that light out within us and within the Christian church. What does it say in 2 Timothy? Just looking at this briefly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So there is the warning to the church, the warning to teachers, false teachers, who are not preaching and teaching the gospel as they should, having a form of godliness but denying the power. The same as I said about salt. Salt can look as though it's salt, but it's lost its flavor. And this sadly is attacking so much of Christendom today around the world. This is why we're in this Laodicean spirit and age. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, people turn away. And they deny the power of the gospel. The power of that light. That's why they so trust in the arm of the flesh. And live and act like the world. Because they are not experiencing the power of the Spirit of God. He says, it's not by might, nor by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is the Spirit, the power of God. It takes the power of God through the Holy Spirit to change, to deliver us, to enable us to be able to overcome, to stand in these last days. To be able to stand as the powers of darkness are trying to put this light out. So it's very important, brothers and sisters. We know that the scriptures tell us very clearly that Jesus is the light of the world. But unless we believe in him, unless we believe in his gospel and the Spirit that he has left for us to overcome, there isn't going to be that light. What does it say in Matthew 5 and verse 14? Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So there we are. We are to be like Jesus. We are to be like a light that is set on a hill. Well, let's look at three areas with regard to this light, what this light really is about. We talk about it from time to time, but what is this light? Well, let's firstly look, what is the position of this light? Well, the position of this light is, it's a lampstand. This light of the world is to be like a lampstand for all to see. So that is its position. You see, the church is called to be a lighthouse. It's a lighthouse that's set upon a hill or set upon a cliff. We all of us have seen lighthouses when we go down to the coasts, or we been around abroad, we see that they put a lighthouse there, obviously because it spells out there's danger. Don't come too near. So it is a warning. And sadly, this light has become the world's light. The church no longer positionally is a warning, speaks out warning. It's lost the power of the gospel for lives to be supernaturally changed and born again. The church so much today has simply spectators, Sunday Christians. It's lost its power. And when it loses its power, it loses its light. And what is the problem that attacks so much of Christendom today? It's become political. It's caught up in strife, things of the world. It's caught up in humanitarian interests. So a lot of humanitarian organizations are called Christian. Or it's caught up in community or local community or welfare involvements. The church has become part of the community, part of the town, part of the city. Or whatever it is, it's involved with the city. It's involved with towns and the politics and so on. It no longer has become that light. It hasn't been, it's no longer a beacon that warns. The church is a light to warn. And that is what a lighthouse is. Otherwise, it's of no use. Ships will go onto the rocks. It spells out danger. And that is why the church today has lost the power for souls to be saved. Now, of course, not all are like this. There is a remnant, thank God. But a lot of Christendom that we associate today, that we see in our towns and cities, they are no longer those lighthouses. They no longer warn. They don't have a real message. They don't want to offend. They want to please everyone. They just want to get people in and fill up the seats. That is the Laodicean age that we live in. And we know what Jesus said about that. You're neither cold nor hot. Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew you. It actually means vomit you out of my mouth. He says, I would sooner that you'd be cold than lukewarm. And that's sadly what we know today Christendom is reduced to. And it's also a warning to us, brothers and sisters. Because the only way we can be that light, that lampstand, that lighthouse, is to be continued to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is essential. Well, that is the first description of this light in regard to the position. Well, secondly, looking at this light, we are to shine as lights. What is the nature of this light? We've already spoken on the position of it. Now we're looking at the nature. Well, it's to banish darkness. That is the nature of light. When you switch the light on at night, it banishes the darkness into the room and it floods the room with light. And that is the nature of this light. We know this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. Look what God says. He says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were first day. So what is the first thing that God creates? He creates light. He divides light to darkness. And he speaks the word. In other words, he's revealing his light, his glory. So the first thing that God speaks out in creation is connected with his glory, because he is pure, undefiled light. So that is a reflection of what he's saying there as he speaks the word. So the nature then is to banish darkness. You see, darkness can never dispel light when it shines. When that light shines, it will always deal with darkness. What are we told in the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 5, where Jesus reveals himself as the Word of God made flesh. What does it say in verse 5? And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So Jesus came in nature as a light to light up the way. Because who is the darkness? The God of this world, the enemy. He tries to keep the world and people in darkness. That is how he works. And darkness keeps you hidden. It keeps you ignorant. It keeps you bound in fear, confusion. That is how he works. And Jesus has come as the light of the world in which to expose the powers of darkness and what he does. And so him being this light, we're talking about the nature of this light, he has come to open our eyes, to light up the Word of God, because he was the Word made flesh, so that we can see the Word, we can read the Word, and we can take the Word in so that it lives within our lives, within our walk, our confession. But you need that light. You need a physical light to obviously read it, and you need that spiritual light that lightens up your spirit, your heart, you, to the Word of God. That is how we have revelation, illumination in the Word. This is what God is doing right now through the unction of the anointing. He's opening up the Word. He today is speaking about light to us. He's teaching us the power of his light that we need, in which to understand the Word of God, so that the seed of God's Word can be planted into your heart. If you have darkness in you, it is going to hinder you from seeing, hearing, and receiving the Word. That is why we're to walk in the light as he is light, because this is all about your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And as you hear it, it also brings on that light that is needed, that spiritual light, to be able to understand, to see, to take in the Word of God. So we're beginning to understand, secondly, now the nature of his light. You see, we too should have that light. So as we walk in that light, we receive that light. We're receiving the light of his word through the power of the Holy Spirit. This then enables us to be lights in this world, so that we should be lights when we go to work. We are to be lights when we go outside. We're to be lights in our own home and with our own family. This light is above all to glorify God. Let's read again what it says in Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So the nature of this light is so that the world can see your good works, your works of faith. Faith has to produce something, because it says don't only be hearers but doers of the faith. So being doers of the faith enables the world to be able to see that light in you. For what purpose? To glorify your Father in heaven. Do we not desire to glorify the Lord's name? If you love him, you want to. And here it is. This is how it's done. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit in which that can glorify his name. And he glorifies his name in the most menial things that we do at times, that's required of us, or to help people, or to go that extra mile, to love our enemies, to do good, to always pursue peace as much as possible. All of this is to do with light that glorifies him, that the world can see it. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Remember that we are talking today, we are to shine as lights. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then it goes on about the fruit of the Spirit. So we're told that we're to walk in the Lord, walk as children of light, meaning that in our everyday activities, in what we do, in deed or in word, we are to be children or sons of light. You see, the tragedy is that many have hid their light through possibly a lack of testimony of what God's doing in your life. We should always be ready to share what God is saying or doing in our lives. Or just lack of maturity, just not growing up into sons of God as we should. We still prefer to be children, tossed to and fro, as the Bible says, instead of allowing the power of the Spirit to get us to grow up into maturity. Or we lack that prayer life that enables us to walk as children of light. Or just neglecting the word. That can be so easy. You need your time in the Word. You need the Holy Spirit to open up his Word to you. Not just when you come and listen to a teaching. That is part of it. Of course we need the anointing. We need the fivefold ministry. But also your time in the Word is also needed as well. Sometimes we're not showing that light simply because we fear that if we share the gospel, we share the good news of Jesus, we're going to be rejected. Or we fear the consequences or whatever. We again need that boldness, the power of the Spirit to give us the words, the wisdom, to be able to share our faith, share the good news of the gospel. The world desperately needs to hear the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind, and that is Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. There are many out there who don't have a clue of that. Again, we're talking about the nature of this light that's not to be banished, but is to deal with darkness, to expose darkness. That is why prayer is so important. That is why when we intercede or we go into warfare, the reason I make so much about warfare is because warfare exposes the powers of darkness. And as we are being led by the Spirit, as we are burdened with a number of these things at the moment that we know are going on, so we need to be in prayer to expose the powers of darkness. We need to pray for the government to expose the powers of darkness. As they're wanting to pass these laws more and more, that is binding us all up, making us slaves. We need to pray. So that is, secondly, the nature of this light. And thirdly, what is the purpose of this light? Well, I've already said back in Matthew 15 and verse 16, so that they can see your righteous works, your works of faith, so that you're not just talking about it, a good talker. There are so many in the house of God that are just good talkers, but few walk it, live it, act it. And that is what we're to do. And the only way we can do that is to be empowered, to be continually be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But not only that, the purpose of this light is that the world sees our love and our devotion to God, that they see that we're disciples who walk with the Lord. Sadly, I don't think it is enough today just to say Christian. It's a tragic, but that is the reality that we live in. So many call themselves Christians. But the world needs to see disciples that are devoted to God. That is the purpose of this light. And you see, they will see this. They will see that we live differently like the world does. They will see that we walk by faith, not trusting always in the arm of the flesh like the world does. That we stand on ethical principles. That our time is with God, the things of God, and not the things of the world. Again, this is the purpose of this light. You see, somebody said this, and it's a very good saying: no one will comment on the dirt that's on a hog, but will comment on an ink spot on a white dress. And there you are. That is how the world views it. And a little spot on a white dress can be so seen. And so that again is the purpose of this light that we are to walk in. And the only way, brothers and sisters, is for the asking, for the empowerment of the Spirit to be able to enable us to be these lights in this world of darkness. Now, of course, we don't always know that light. Sometimes God doesn't show us. But we do occasionally get a sort of an insight of what God is actually doing in and through us in certain ways. But fundamentally, people who know us or see us, they have far more light on us than we do ourselves, because they're seeing how we live. We don't always see how we're living or the standard that we should be living to. And sometimes God has to open our eyes to that, or he has to deal with us on that. And we're all, of course, overcoming in certain areas. We're all still getting delivered, because it's that that holds us back from being what God wants us to be, the purpose of that life. This is why I always say, as I bring this to a close, that the deeper life teaching is about deliverance. It's about healing. It's about setting us free for this very purpose, that we are lights in this world of darkness, because this world is getting darker and darker. And I don't know about you, but over the last 2 years, we have seen a darkness coming over this earth like we have never seen before. Even the world out there is questioning what's going on. Well, how much more us who are of the house of God? What we're seeing now, the rapid falling away. What does this falling away mean? It means it's falling further and further into darkness. The tragedy is that the darkness is revealing what a lot of the world is destined for. The lake of fire and brimstone. Hell is darkness. Heaven is light. And as we're seeing this darkness now getting worse and worse, it's a sign where man is going to. And we battle it. And it's trying to draw us into the lake of fire and brimstone. And that's why we war against it. We have to fight against it. It's like we're swimming upstream all the time against the powers of darkness that want to bring us down into this light, into this darkness. But praise God, the power of the Spirit raises up that standard against the powers of darkness and the enemy. And what does that? Our faith in the Lord, our faith in the Word of God, that enables us to be able to triumph and overcome. That is why we are to shine as lights, brothers and sisters. So we've looked at three areas with regard to this light. We've looked at the position of this light, that is like a lampstand, a lighthouse set upon a hill. We've looked at the nature, which is to banish darkness, to divide darkness. And thirdly, we've looked at its purpose so that the world can see that we are Christian. They will know us by the fruit. They will know us by our love. They will know us by the way we walk. We walk a supernatural walk. We believe that God provides for us. This is why we believe the Word of God is for the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. We do not get caught up in the things of the world. We are separated from it for the very purpose that this light may be seen in and through our lives, our walk, how we treat people, how we treat one another, so that it gives God all the glory. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. We are to shine as lights. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are helpless without the power, the baptism of the Spirit. Father, cause that light to shine through the church, through each of us, even more and more, that that light which is your light may glorify your name. Father, help us, empower us. We are so aware, Lord, the enemy wants to bring us down into that darkness. But Lord, as you have overcome all things, so we too overcome all things. As you have triumphed over the powers of darkness and now sit in glory at the right hand of the Father, so we do likewise, because we are already with you by faith, seated in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, helping us, encouraging us. And may we continue this week walking as lights in this world of darkness. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.